Get ready to join Pastor Anthony Clark every Saturday from 8:30 p.m. for 30 minutes of life-changing, Spirit-inspired teaching from the Word of God.
Focus on God's Word Ministry is designed to teach you the Word of God, enabling you to live better with God, yourself, and others. Focus is located at 159 Eastern Main Road, Barataria. For prayer, please call 746-0829, 623-1889, or 674-0737. For the secret to a healthy soul is a renewed mind. Stay focused.
Praise the Lord. Welcome to the radio program Focus on God's Word. I'm your host and Bible teacher, Pastor Anthony Clark, and I thank God for this opportunity and privilege whereby we can enter into your homes, your cars, or wherever you're picking up this program today and share with you the living Word of God. Just before we get into the ministry of the Word today, I just want to take time off to give you some basic information about ourselves. I am Pastor Anthony Clark, the pastor of Focus on God's Word Ministry, and we are located at 159 Eastern Main Road in Barataria. Our services are every Sunday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., and every Tuesday midday from 10:30 to 12, we partner with the Prayer Sanctuary, which is opposite our building on the same side of the road. It's in the compound of the Christian Printers, and we partner with them for our Tuesday midday Bible study, which begins at 12:15 and finishes around 1. So if you live in the East-West Corridor, you have been listening to the radio program, you do enjoy it, and you want to come and be a part of all that God is doing, connect with us, come and be a part. Come and study the Word of God in a live session and enjoy yourself. You will be tremendously blessed. And then we meet every Friday evening from 7:15 to 8:30 p.m. Also, I want to encourage you to be a part of two other ministries that are close to our heart. One is the Temple of Grace, which is located in California, Coover, that is pastored by the Lewises. They pastor Temple of Grace, and their services are every Sunday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. So if you live in the California community in the Coover. California is a place in Coover, and on that old Southern Main Road, you will cannot miss it. One big sign, Temple of Grace, whether you're going east, whether you're going south, or you're heading north. You can't miss it. Every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., do go and fellowship with them and receive the ministry of the Word. It would be a blessing to you. And then the second ministry that we fellowship and associate with is called the Prayer Sanctuary, and they meet for prayer every Tuesday from 10:30 to 12:15. They meet for prayer, and then we do the Bible study. And then every third Saturday from 2:30 to 6 p.m. is prayer school, and every second and fourth Friday is breakthrough prayer. From 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. every second and fourth Friday, they meet for breakthrough prayer. And that is, Prayer Sanctuary is located just before my building. I am 159, so I believe they are 158. It's the same building that the Christian Printers are in. Also, the beauty of it is that it's the same place we do our midday Bible study. So do check out these ministries too. It's a place where you could feed yourself the Word of God and get into prayer and pray for our nation, and our nation so needs it. So connect with us through any one of these services, and we'll be glad to have you fellowship with us. Now, we want to get into a new lesson. I know we just finished teaching on the Word of Wisdom, and what we want to do is talk about, and I want to continue in the gifts, but not today. I want to emphasize the importance of continuing in God's Word, because what I've seen happen is, a lot of people are converted, but they don't come disciples. And what we want to do is not just have people converted. We want people to become disciples. And in John chapter 8, verse 31 to 32, it says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, he said, 'If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed.'" And then he makes a profound statement in verse 32. He says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So we want to pay attention to the concept continuing in God's word. You see, now hear me. Every one of us start off as a believer, but every one of us does not become a disciple. I want you to get that. Every one of us, we start off as a believer, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we will become a disciple. And the reason why many of us don't become a disciple is because we do not choose to continue in the word. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. So the question is, what about God's word that you and I need to know or we need to continue in order to become a disciple? What does the word of God really, really, really do for us that it moves us from being a convert into a disciple? Many of you are listening to me. You have been saved for years, but you have been a baby Christian for years. You have never really paid much attention to the ministry of God's word to you and it impacts upon your life. For example, I am a pastor. I've been pastoring for over 14 years. And before that 14 years, I was in a traveling teaching ministry for 8 years. And I always give precedent to the ministry of the word. And the interesting thing about that is that I have met many people who gave their heart to the Lord and pay little attention to the ministry of the word. They don't take on, actually, if they do come to church, you know, some is once a month, some twice a month, some once every 2 months. You know, they just don't pay attention to the word. And people like that do not become disciples. But that is not God's best. God's best is that we continue in the word so that we can become disciples. So we're going to examine God's word to see why continuing in God's word moved me from being a convert into a disciple. And the first point I want to establish is this. The reason for the word of God is simply this. God and his word are one and the same. I want you to get that. God and his word are one and the same. What it basically says is this. The word of God gives us a revelation about who God is. The word of God gives us a revelation about what God has. The word of God gives us a revelation of what God could do. Everything you want to know about God, you have to find out from the word of God, which is the Bible. Now, I don't want to go into a big discussion about how do you go about studying the Bible, but I'm going to put a little 2 cents in here to help you because God and his word are one and the same. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And you get that? It says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. God and his word is one and the same. Now, the challenge we have had with the word of God, which is the Bible, is that we have not properly studied it out. We then realized that there are two covenants. One is for the believer and one is for the nation of Israel. And what we have done is confuse the program in that we take what God gave to the nation of Israel and try to apply it to the New Testament church. And that confused the issue. So really and truly, people find that the Bible become a difficult book to understand, thereby God becoming a difficult person to comprehend. But when you understand that they are two separate covenants and that they both of them have carried two different perspectives on who God is, and the reason for that is because each covenant, God has to behave in a particular manner towards the group that he is covenanted to. So you find for the nation of Israel, the covenant he had with them had in it which what was called the law, and he had to behave in a particular manner in reference to them based on that covenant. However, the covenant he has with the church is one that is based on his relationship with his son, Jesus. And because of his relationship with his son, Jesus, he deals with us different than he dealt with the nation of Israel. Again, you have to understand the word of God. But if you don't continue in God's word, you will struggle to comprehend those things. And when you struggle to comprehend those things, you will not be able to walk get a better understanding of who God is. But I want you to understand God and his word are one and the same. You cannot separate the word from God and you cannot separate God from his word. There's a portion of scripture I don't have in my notes, but it just came up in my spirit that we could look at to bring this truth out. It's found in Hebrews chapter 1, and I'll take it from verse 1. It says in verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Now watch this. Verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, now watch this, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Notice what the Bible says, that God uphold all things by the word of his power. What word is that? In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He upholds everything by and through his word. So God and his word is one and the same. And next thing you need to know about the word of God is this, is that faith in God is faith in his word. Write that down. Faith in God is faith in his word. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. Pay close attention. And it's this. You cannot have more faith in God than you do in his word. Let me repeat that. You cannot have more faith in God than you do in his word. Now, a lot of people don't pay attention to that statement, but that statement is so profound. If you are going to put faith in God, then you have to put faith in his word. Why? Because we're going back to point one. His word and him are one and the same. You can't have faith in God and not have faith in his word. And many times, many of you who are listening to me, you're out there trying to trust God. And if I only ask you, well, what promise are you standing on that guarantees you that God is going to do what you're trusting him to do? You cannot answer me positively. And the reason why you cannot answer me positively is because you do not have a relationship with God's word. And one of the reasons why you may not have a relationship with God's word is because you do not see the importance of God's word representing him. He is everything the word say he is. I don't know why I'm going to scriptures that I don't have in my notes here, but let me flow with the Spirit of God. This one is found in 2 Peter chapter 1, taking it from verse 3 to 4. It says in verse 3, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Now watch verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Now watch, it didn't say exceeding great and precious promises are dear. It said it is given unto us. It says whereby are given unto us. What is given unto us? Exceeding great and precious promises. Well, where are these exceeding great and precious promises? In the word of God? There are promises in here because these promises represents God Almighty, and the beautiful thing about it is he is everything his word says he is. So that when I am putting trust in God, I have to have a promise that I'm standing on. There are a lot of you, for example, you're believing God to heal you, but do I want to say this or not? but let me don't go there, because that's a whole different lesson. But you're believing God to heal you, and if I'm to only ask you, well, what scriptures are you standing on to guarantee you that it is the will of God to heal you? You don't have one. You don't even know that there are. See, and I didn't want to go here, but let me say it, because this is a confusion where the subject of divine healing is concerned. First of all, hear me out. Divine healing is not a promise truth. Now, don't turn off your radio because I said that. Listen to where I'm coming from. Divine healing is not a promised truth. Divine healing is not something God promised to do. Divine healing is an established fact. Similar, salvation is not a promised truth. Salvation is a promise, is an established fact. Himself, let's go to healing. Himself took your infirmities and bare your sicknesses, and by his stripes you were healed. That's an accomplished fact. So healing is something God has already provided. It's not something that he has promised. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's an established fact. He's not going to give his Son again. He has given his Son again. When did he give his Son? Almost 2,000 years ago. And this is the thing I love about Christianity and Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, is that it took care of sins in the past, the present, and the future to come. So you don't have to be frightened about whether or not God will forgive you. God don't have a choice. So forgiveness has been established. Redemption has been established. So, therefore, you don't really find a promise to establish healing and a promise to establish salvation, but you do find promises to access healing and promises to access salvation. I hope you all are understanding me. So what do you mean promises to access salvation? Well, in Romans chapter 12, let me look at it. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Here's what Paul said about the gospel. He says, therefore, being justified, how? By faith. He said, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now notice the phrase that Paul uses in Romans 5 verse 2. He says, by whom also we have access. You see, you have access to something that has already been established. By his stripes you were healed. For God so loved the world that he gave. So it's already established. So what the promises does is enable us by faith to access that which has already been provided. So faith in God becomes faith in his word. So you need to familiarize yourself with the promises in the Bible that belongs to you. I normally put it this way. There are promises in the Bible that you and I need to know. Some of them are conditional, some of them are not conditional, but you still need to know them. Why? Because you access your Heavenly Father through the exceeding great and precious promises. Are you following where I'm coming from? So when you continue in the Word and you begin to learn about these different promises, it moves you from being a convert into being a disciple. Now, learning truth is one thing. Applying truth is something else. So we have to start somewhere. So let's start to learn truth. Let's start to find out from the Word of God the things that God has promised us and take advantage of it. For there's a beautiful one in John chapter 16, verse 23 and 24. Jesus said, I don't want to quote it. Let me go to it in the Bible. I'm going to so many different verses that I don't have here in my notes for this sermon. This is quite rather interesting. It says, Jesus said, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name? Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. This, I just gave you two promises there. You can take advantage of that. Meditate on it. Learn it so that you can access the grace of God that you stand in. Because our Heavenly Father has established it, that faith in him is faith in his word. Let's look at the next one. God is everything the word says he is. Write that down. Meditate on that. God is everything the word says he is. Wow, that's powerful. That's really, really powerful. So what does the word say he is? Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Look at verse 5 and 6. It says in verse 5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say," because he has said, we can boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What shall man do unto me?" God is everything the word say he is. So if he said that he will never leave me and he will never forsake me, I could bank on that. And that is something that you have to learn if you're going to move from being a convert to disciple. You have to learn that God will never leave you nor never forsake you. And I'm going to drop one in here, and you may not struggle to accept what I'm going to say, but it is true, even when you sin. Yeah, let that sink. Now, again, don't take off your radio. I'm not teaching heresy. Say, but why do you say, even when I did wrong, wouldn't God move from me and go where? Why did he send his son? Not to die for you. What he's going to leave you for? His job is to make sure you make it. His job is not to drop you by the wayside. God don't think like human beings, you know. Human beings, we put limits on how much we will take from people. And after a while, when the limit is reached, we get rid of them out of our lives. Men do it with women. Women do it with men. We do it with children. Children do it with parents. We do it with organizations. Organizations do it with employees. Employees do it with employers. You have a limit, but not God. God, the Bible says about God in the book of Ephesians that His grace, he is rich in grace. And anything God is rich in means he have an abundance of that don't run out. So if he's rich in mercy and rich in grace, it means that he is always there to help you. Then the other side of it is this. There is no sin outside the sin unto death and blasphemy against the Holy Spirit that you have not been forgiven of before you even come to confess it. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he took care of all the sins of the world. So there is nothing that is left out. That's why Hebrews says, teaches that we have an eternal redemption. So God is everything the Word of God says he is. And you have to learn that. But you see, sometimes we struggle because you may get up a day and don't feel God around. And you think because you don't feel him around that he has left. But you have to understand that we don't walk by how we feel. We walk by what we believe. And if we say we believe the Word of God, then the Word of God has to govern our life. You cannot judge whether God is with you or not with you by the circumstances that are taking place around you. Because the circumstances that are taking place around you may be designed to deceive you, to make you think that God has left you and God has not. That's why in James, the scripture said, draw nigh to God. It doesn't say anything about God drawing nigh to you. It said, draw nigh to God. Why? Because he doesn't leave you. He promised he will never leave you nor forsake you. As a matter of fact, when Jesus was teaching on the ministry of the Holy Spirit, Jesus made this strong statement. He says, he will abide with you forever. Listen, even the sin unto death and blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, it is something we do and we say we don't want the Lord. It is not something the Lord comes and say, I don't want to have a part to do with you. No, it is something we do and we say we don't want to have a part with him. He is hooked to us forever and ever and ever and ever. And this is just one facet of what the Word of God says he is. There are many things the Word of God says he is. And you need to become a disciple when you begin to learn who God is. I learned this phrase in the 80s. I got saved in 1985. And somewhere between 1985 and 1990, I learned this concept. And it's this: God is everything the Word of God says he is. God has everything the Word of God says he has. God can do everything the Word of God says he can do. I learned this. If that is true, I am everything the Word of God says I am. I have everything the Word of God says I have, and I can do everything the Word of God says I can do. Then, if that is true, I've learned this also, then Satan is everything the Bible says he is. He does not have the things he wants to make you think he has, and he cannot do the things he wants to make you think he can do. Are you understanding me? Why? Because God is everything the Word of God says he is. God has everything the Word of God says he has, and God can do everything the Word of God says he can do. So you have to begin to learn about your Heavenly Father through the Word of God. He is everything the Word says he is. So get into your Bible. Begin to work on moving from a new believer into a disciple. That's the place where you begin to walk in the supernatural. That's the place where you begin to hear the voice of God. That's the place where the Spirit of God begins to lead you. That's the place where you begin to leave a mark for your Heavenly Father in the earth. Now, this is really going good, but I'm Pastor Anthony Clark, and I have to stop now. Oh, this is really going good. But again, I'm Pastor Anthony Clark, the pastor of Focus on God's Word Ministry. We would like to hear from you. If this lesson have been a blessing to you and you have a desire for someone to pray with you, the Bible says, if two shall agree as touching anything, it shall be done. You have a desire to be healed, to be saved, or whatever, call us at any of these two numbers, 623-1889 or 746-0829. Also, we want you to connect with us. You can go on our website, fogwm.org, and this same program you heard, you can listen to it over and over and over and over. And then there are ton loads of different Bible subjects on that website that you can listen to help you grow and develop in the things of God. Then I want to again remind you about the services tomorrow morning. We would be at Focus on God's Word Ministry at 159 Eastern Main Road in Barataria from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Then Tuesday for our midday Bible study from 12:15 to 1 on the same compound. And then Friday evening from 7:15 to 8:30, we meet again for worship and ministry of the Word. Then if you live in the California area in Coover and you're looking for a local church to fellowship with to learn the Word of God, check out Temple of Grace. The service is 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. and they'll be certainly glad to have you be a part of their service. Now, I want to give you an opportunity to sow into our ministry. It costs money to be on the air. And the Bible said, they that are taught the word, let them communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. So you could go to any First Citizen branch and sow a generous seed into Focus on God's Word Radio Ministry, account number 175-8015. Then call us, let us know you have sown so we could come into agreement with you in prayer that you could receive the corresponding return on your seed sown. Be with you next week. Stay blessed. Stay strong.
Join Pastor Anthony Clark every Saturday from 8:30 p.m. for 30 minutes of life-changing, spirit-inspired teaching from the Word of God.
Focus on God's Word Ministry is designed to teach you the Word of God, enabling you to live better with God, yourself, and others. Focus is located at 159 Eastern Main Road, Barataria. For prayer, please call 746-0829, 623-1889, or 674-0737. For the secret to a healthy soul is a renewed mind. Stay focused.